We're going to have a chat tonight. So if you want to listen in, that'd be really helpful. We're going to find out about what God's done for you, Jonathan, really, isn't it? Rather than your story, it's God's story in your life. It's been really nice. Yeah, thank you for coming today. It's been really helpful for you to come and speak this morning and just to get to know you a little bit more today. So you're at the barbecue and you get to have some food. You okay after that food?
Yeah, very good.
Excellent,
yeah.
Very well, good.
That's loud.
Still here as well.
It's working.
It was great, wasn't it? So, we thought it would be really helpful just to find out a little bit about you tonight. So that's really the purpose of this, isn't it? And just find a little bit about your background. So I wonder if, as we find out about how God's brought you to where you are today, just give us a little bit of a flavour of your background. So, you know, where were you born? Your family set up early years? How you became a Christian?
Sure. So I was born in Oxford and lived there for the first 18 years of my life. Was born into a church-going family, so I was taken to church from a very young age, went to Sunday school, sang in the choir. So I guess I was kind of brought up with a religious background, so always believed in the existence of God, always believed that God was real, never once doubted the reality of God, but had never really heard the gospel, so I didn't really understand about being in a relationship with God through Christ. I always thought being a Christian was just about, you know, trying your best to be good and to do good deeds and so on. And the first time that I heard the gospel message was, I think it was age 15, I was invited along to an Easter service by a friend of mine from school, invited me to this Easter service at a Baptist church in Kidlington. And yeah, that was the first time I heard really a message of putting your trust in Jesus Christ, needing to be forgiven for sins and having a relationship with God. I went to this church and thought, oh wow, these people are different. They seem to really believe what they're, you know, what they're sort of they're talking about.
Been to church before?
Yeah, been to church before, but it was not a gospel church. Okay. So it was a religious service, and it was nice. But yeah, with going to this Baptist church, I think it was the first time I thought, oh, there's something different about these people. And so I got involved in that church, and fairly soon after, actually, made a profession of faith. So I kind of heard a gospel message and responded to it, and thought that would that was what I thought. I thought I'd become a Christian on that day. But there was this kind of big issue in the back of my mind in that probably from around about the age of 10 or 11, I'd been very conscious of feeling attractions to people of the same sex, which was kind of just strange to me, not something I ever wanted or chose. And I kind of thought, well, how on earth does this relate to, you know, God and putting my trust in him? And, you know, I knew that whatever I'd seen in the Bible was only very negative about that issue. So I just couldn't really work out, how do I reconcile this kind of sexuality, if you like, with my faith. And really, I just couldn't find a way to do that. And in the end, it ended up drifting away from the church. And then kind of age 17, I kind of started at that age then to inwardly, not outwardly, but inwardly started identifying myself as gay. I remember reading a book on my parents' bookshelf, always a dangerous thing to do, all about adolescence and reading about how, you know, some people might go through a phase of feeling attractions and, you know, with some people that phase might not end and then this is what you should call yourself kind of thing. So, yeah, age 17, that was how I was identifying myself inwardly and then got involved in a relationship with another guy that I met on holiday.
So you kind of left church?
Kind of wandered away from church, really, yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, it was kind of starting to live, really, I suppose, a secret life and didn't really tell people at church what was going on, just kind of made excuses for not going.
Yeah.
But there was this one family that I did tell, and they were the family that had originally invited me to church. And I remember them saying, you know, very nicely actually, just sitting me down and saying, look, Jonathan, we want you to know that we don't believe that, you know, you getting involved in this relationship is what God wants for your life. We're not going to reject you. We will still pray for you. You can still come into our home. But we want you to know that this is what we're praying for you, that God will turn your life around. And that kind of stuck with me, actually, because it was said very graciously. But I really trusted these people, and I respected them. And so for 7 years, I was in this relationship. And they were praying for me every week. And then over a period of time, I really started to feel... Go on. I can talk forever, so just interrupt me, please.
Yeah. So just on that point, then, that was, kind of, was that good advice, do you think, from them? Or do you think, hang on, they should just let...
No, I think it was good. I thought they did it in a really good way. They didn't judge me. They just said, look, we believe that the decision you're making is wrong before God. And we want you to know we love you, but we are going to be praying that God will work in your life. So it was quite a challenge to me, actually, because I really did respect this family. You know, I'd been into their invited into their home week by week and often having lunch with them. And so I could take it from them because there was the relationship there. So yeah. No, it was good. It was a challenge.
But despite that, then you sort of...
I kind of continued in this relationship. I think it was just like not... I just, at that stage in my life, the thought of being on my own was just too scary. I thought, I just don't think I can cope with being on my own. You know, I wanted to be in a loving relationship. And so, yeah, met this guy and we were in a relationship. But I suppose through those 7 years of that relationship, I never really, at any stage, would say I felt complete peace. I kind of tried to convince myself that, you know, maybe this was from God. And it just so happened that I met this guy a year to the day after my father died. My father died when I was just 16. And so I thought, oh, maybe, you know, this is God's provision for me, making up for me losing my dad. I mean, when you're in that state of mind and living a way that, you know, goes against God's word, you'll try and find all kinds of ways to justify it. And I did try to do that. But over a period of time, and particularly towards the end of those 7 years, I really started to feel quite a deep sense of conviction, of guilt, and just became increasingly unhappy with the way I was living. And I guess started to feel that I was under God's judgment, which was quite scary. I remember reading, just shows how God can work in mysterious ways, because there's no way I was going to pick up a Bible at that stage. But I started reading Lord of the Rings. My partner was into kind of that kind of fantasy literature, and I'd never read it before. And it's a bit of a spoiler here, by the way, if you've not read the Lord of the Rings. But I got to the point in Lord of the Rings where Gandalf, who represents all that's good in the book, died. And I was just, the state of mind I was in, I just was filled with blackness. That's all I can describe. My heart was filled with blackness. And of course, if I'd carried on reading, he comes back to life, but I didn't know that. And it was that was the point, that was what God used, absolute blackness and despair. When I thought, there is no good, I'm under complete judgment. And I walked into a church.
You weren't going to church?
No, at all.
How long was it you'd been without church contact?
That would have been about, I'd been in the relationship 7 years, so probably okay. just over 6 years, I would say, without any church contact.
And where were you living at this point?
So I was living, actually I was living in Bournemouth with my partner. We had a flat that overlooked the entrance to Lansdowne Baptist Church. Some of you may know that in Bournemouth. And we had a flat on the first floor. And I remember sometimes on a Sunday, I would look out of our bay window, which just looked over the entrance, and kind of hundreds of people flooding out of the church, laughing, joking, smiling. You know, church where people are happy, you know, when they come out. I remember looking at all these people and thinking, actually, feeling quite envious almost. I thought, what is going on in there? Yeah. There's something good going on in there. But I tried to convince myself, well, they're probably just happy because the long, boring church service is over and they now get to live the rest of their lives. But I kind of knew that there was something good going on in that place. And because of how I was feeling, it was just as if, I guess, the Spirit of God led me into there one Sunday morning just in complete despair. And I went and I sat and...
Describe just how you went in there. So what was it, you woke up one Sunday and thought... Oh,
I'm going in there. I'm going to church.
Get ready, put your shirt.
Yeah, I did. I did dress up, actually. Yeah, I did. I thought I'd better dress up. And yeah, I just walked in and I sat. And I can't really tell you much about the service. I can't tell you much about the preaching. Sorry, Steve Brady. He was my pastor at the time. But
so Steve Brady.
He was the pastor, yeah.
Mullins.
Yeah, who's now at Moorlands. Yeah. But I just remember going to that church and sat there. And there was probably about 600 or more there. And just probably for the first time in 7 years, feeling a sense of incredible peace that this was the right place to be. And turned out to be one of the ministers of the church, the minister of pastoral care, and introduced himself and said, well, welcome. And the first thing he said to me is, you look. And I kind of thought, okay. I probably would have said, you know, get lost a week before, but actually I did. And I said, yeah, I really do. He said, well, I tell you what, why don't we meet up next week, come to the church here, and we'll meet and have a chat. And so that was how it started. So I met up the following week, and he sat me down, gave me a cup of tea, and he said, look, before you tell me anything about your life, do you mind if I just read something to you from the Bible? I said, sure, that's fine. So he opened up the Bible, and he read from Jeremiah, and probably the most famous verses in Jeremiah, Jeremiah 29, where it says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You'll seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you. And as those words were read, I just broke down in tears, which was not something I was in the habit of doing, particularly in front of somebody else. But such was the power of God's word really into my heart. And it was actually that last word, captivity, that really struck me, because here I was. I thought I was a kind of free man. I'd kind of made this choice to be in this same-sex relationship. I thought that was what I really wanted, and actually realized that all it had done is actually led me into captivity, to sin.
And he knew nothing about your background.
No, he knew nothing about my background. No, he didn't know anything. So God was doing all this work in my heart just as this reading was going on. And I knew at that moment, I was just in tears, and I just knew that was the moment where God was saying, that's it. You've had your life of wandering. It's not given you what you wanted. And I knew then that I had to put my trust in Christ for forgiveness of sins. And that was the moment where that journey really began. And I knew that that was, from that point on, letting go and saying, Lord Jesus, you're the center of my life now, and I want to live for you. So that's
this,
the beginning.
So this guy's there with you. You're in tears. He then plays with you, and you say, right, this is it now.
Yeah.
I'm a Christian. I'm a changed man.
Yeah. Yeah.
So some things have to change, I guess.
Yeah, well, the first thing I had to change was I had to leave my partner, which I did straight away. I just knew immediately that that was the first thing I had to do, was get out of that relationship.
That's been really tough.
It was, in one sense, it was. It was tough, probably tougher for him than it was for me. I mean, I realised the seriousness of it, but I guess the only way I can describe it is that I guess the love of God had entered my heart, and it was a very powerful love, and I guess it drove out what was an idolatrous love, really, for my partner. It was so powerful. And there was no question in my mind I had to leave him, so I had to go and have that conversation, which wasn't an easy conversation. You can imagine when you're in a partnership and you tell somebody that you're leaving them, that's pretty bad. When you say you're leaving them for somebody else, that's even worse. When that somebody else is God, that doesn't tend to go down too well. So, and it didn't go down too well at the time.
So Philly, you just went out of that meeting with that guy and went straight home and
I knew I had to do that.
No other thoughts around it?
No, that was, I just knew that that was... That was the big, you know, there were lots of other issues in my life that weren't right. I mean, by that time, I completely was, you know, far, far away from God, and that was being manifested in lots of ways.
Yeah.
But the key way was definitely that relationship. I knew that was number one thing that had to change and had to go.
Yeah, and that's gone now, and that's dealt with.
Yeah, completely. I mean, actually, you know, we didn't kind of have any contact for years, and then he actually lives in Switzerland. He's now in a civil partnership, and I... probably about 6-7 years afterwards, I went to visit him and his partner, and it was an amazing experience actually, because you know he'd actually calmed down and kind of recognised that, you know, although he didn't like what had happened, that there was something had happened to me that kind of he couldn't explain. And so I went to have a meal with him and a few other of his gay friends, and he basically introduced me and said, "This is Jonathan. He used to be my partner, but then God came into his life and changed it." I thought, oh, great, you're doing all my testimony. So he basically shared my testimony in front of all these other... It was an amazing evening, and I was just able to talk about what God had done in my life. So
you kind of left all that behind. I guess the feelings just went, and that was the end of it. So then you moved on to other things.
Oh, that would be lovely if that were the case. It's fascinating, actually. I mean, the first year of being a Christian, there was that sense in which, I mean, the feelings had gone. I don't even remember being tempted in that way at all for at least a year, which is incredible when I think back. And I kind of thought, because I'd been praying actually since that very first commitment back age 15, I'd been praying that God would take this away, because I didn't want this. I wanted actually to be married. I wanted to have a family. I wanted to have children. And I actually thought for the first year that God had taken it away, because there was no desire, there was no attraction, there was no even temptation. And I remember actually, I didn't get when people at Lansdowne would talk about struggling with stuff. And, you know, people say that you know, I'm struggling with, you know, pornography, or I'm struggling with anger. I thought, why are you struggling? You know, why are you struggling? Maybe you're not a real Christian. You know, maybe you're like me. I just didn't get it until just about a year after, when the only way I can describe it is that it was as if what I think happened is I think God had surrounded me with kind of heavenly cotton wool, if you like, to get me out of that lifestyle and out of that relationship. And I think it had to be that way to get me out of it and to get me free from it. But then I think he kind of took the cotton wool off. And suddenly I thought, okay, I get what you mean now by struggling, because suddenly there were temptations again. And there are attractions again. So no, you haven't taken it away, Lord. So that was actually a very difficult period in my life. So I thought, okay, so it's not quite as I thought. But I think what God was doing in that was showing me, okay, now I've kind of protected you as a child. I've surrounded you with the cotton wool. It's almost like, you know, nappies off now. I want you to learn to walk as a child. And that was exactly what happened. So for the next few years, it was learning now to walk and learning to battle, learning to struggle, learning to resist temptation, learning what does it mean to be a Christian who is unmarried and who still has these kind of attractions but knows it's not right to live them out. So that was quite an important learning time for me.
So things are really transformed from your home life.
Yeah.
What about your work life? What were you doing then? What was work?
Yeah, work was fascinating because, of course, I mean, all of this had been lived out in front of my colleagues. I was working in local government at the time in quite a big open plan office of about 150 people. And by this stage, I was open at work about being in a same-sex relationship. And then suddenly, I come in one morning and announce that I've become a Christian, Bible on my desk, big Bible on my desk to make the point. And people just like thought, what on earth is going on? I mean, I think people thought I'd got involved with some cult or something initially. And then I'm talking about leaving my partner and people just kind of didn't quite know what to make of it. But over time, I learned a bit of wisdom and learning that actually slamming a Bible down on your desk every day is probably not the most wisest thing to do. And I started to be a little bit more wise about how I share my faith and so on. And actually, it was an amazing time, and I had some great conversations with colleagues over that time. And I remember there were a few other Christians in the office, and we started to meet together to pray, praying for our colleagues. And then we ended up eventually setting up a lunchtime meeting. So,
what prompted you to do that, by the way? Because most of us don't meet with colleagues and pray with them.
I don't know. For me, it just felt so natural. I've become a Christian. Oh, there are some other Christians. Hey, guys, why don't we get together and pray? You know, why don't we get together and pray for our colleagues? You know, I wanted, in my, kind of exuberance as a young Christian, I just thought he's going to save everybody in local government. You know, I had visions of the chief exec becoming a Christian. And I mean, it was amazing, actually, because when I was baptized, there were three of us from the office baptized, and we did invite everybody. And we had my boss came to the baptism. He's a Freemason. We had people coming from all kinds of backgrounds. Amazing service at Lansdowne Baptist. I just felt very passionate. Yeah. Look, God has done something for me. Yeah. You know, my duty now is to go and share that with other people. Really,
so
that was just
so
natural.
You prayed for them. You're trying to set some stuff.
Yeah,
up.
we had a lunchtime meeting, and we were kind of getting to the stage where we had 40 or 50 people along once a month, and we had outside speakers in, kind of looking at kind of hot topics and stuff like that. Yeah. It was a precious time.
That's
and
exciting,
then a few people coming to church from that. So it's good.
So you had your home life change, you had your work life change. Now what about your future life then? That was about to change as well, I guess, because at some point you obviously left work. So what happened there? How did you know God was calling you? Because I think a lot of us struggle with that idea.
Mm.
When is this God calling me? How do I know?
Yeah, it was interesting because on that very day in that pastor's office, the very first day of becoming a Christian, I remember having quite a strong conviction that this was not just about, a change in my life, not just about leaving this relationship, but I kind of had a strong inner conviction, is any way I can describe it, that God was wanting me to preach this word that had just worked very powerfully in my own heart, to preach it to others. And I remember saying to the minister on that day, kind of, I want to be a missionary, where do I sign up? Which is quite a scary thing for a pastor to hear from a brand new Christian, where you're full of enthusiasm, maybe a bit lacking in wisdom. And he was great, because he said, well, okay, that that may well be of the Lord, but I think probably the best thing to do is to stay where you are for now, carry on in your work, and see how God leads. And it was great advice, and I ended up then getting involved in doing various things at Lansdowne. So I was involved in a student work, a student outreach. I was leading a home group. I then got involved in doing some preaching and doing some leading of services. And God just kind of over time, I suppose, I think he'd given me a gift of preaching and teaching, but it was just having that opportunity for that to be tested and exercised. And it was actually 5 years afterwards, after becoming a Christian, when I just increasingly got this real sense that God wanted me to go off and train at Bible college. So I approached somebody that I knew we had a mission council that were responsible for kind of testing callings and met with a 7-person panel who kind of tested that calling, it was quite a challenging evening. But I just shared with what God had done in my life and said, hey, I really believe he's calling me. And I think they were thinking, it's maybe a little bit early, you're still quite a young Christian. And I was kind of getting little warnings beforehand, don't be too disappointed if it doesn't happen yet. So I thought, I went in there thinking, okay, but I was just convinced that now is the right time, and I'd been praying. I just knew, and I was just praying. Yeah. And so we had this kind of three-hour meeting, I think, with the mission council, and I was sent out of the room, and I was sat there kind of waiting and praying, and then they invited me back in and said, we were mindful to say wait, but we believe the Holy Spirit has just very clearly shown that we can't stop this. This is from God, and you have our support, and we want to support you and send you off to Bible College, which was just an amazing...
Yeah.
So they just really had that clear conviction.
And you went off then to Bible College?
So I went off to Bible College, up to London, and I was, in Bible College and placed at a church in East London.
Okay.
And I was placed there as a placement student, so I was kind of doing occasional bit of preaching and leading, doing a bit of youth work. I set up an 18 to 30s group because the church kind of didn't really have a group for that age. And then after that, at the end of Bible College, they wanted to keep me on, which was lovely, and offered me a role as assistant pastor and youth worker, which I took on, and gladly. I mean, it's quite nice. I kind of fell into it, really, so I didn't have to go through the kind of process that I'm now going through. quite nice when you fall into things. But hey.
It's making it harder for me.
And then, so they, I then had, I think I probably did that for about 2.5 to 3 years. And then the pastor moved on, and then there was a...
Well, hold on to that.
Okay, I'll just stop. Yep.